If you have a Bible with you, would you turn with me, please, to the Gospel of John, chapter 18, and we're going to commence our reading at verse 20. John chapter 18 and verse 28. John 18, verse 28. Then led they Jesus from Caiaphas unto the hall of judgment, and it was early. And they themselves went not into the judgment hall, lest they should be defiled, but that they might eat the Passover. Pilate then went out unto them and said, What accusation bring ye against this man? They answered and said unto him, If he were not a malefactor, we would not have delivered him up unto thee. Then said Pilate unto them, Take ye him, and judge him according to your law. The Jews therefore said unto him, It is not lawful for us to put any man to death. That the saying of Jesus might be fulfilled, which he spake, signifying what death he should die. Then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again, and called Jesus, and said unto him, Art thou the King of the Jews? Jesus answered him, Sayest thou this thing of yourself, or did others tell it of me? Pilate answered, Am I a Jew? Thine own nation and chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? Jesus answered, My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king then? Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Every one that is of the truth heareth my voice. Pilate saith unto him, What is truth? And when he had said thus, he went out again unto the Jews and said unto them, I find in him no fault at all. But ye have a custom that I should release unto you one at the Passover. Will ye therefore that I release unto you the King of the Jews? Then cried they all again, saying, Not this man, but Barabbas. Now Barabbas was a robber, ending at verse 40. Let's just still our hearts. Let's pray. Father, we do thank thee for this public reading of your word, and we ask indeed that you would bless it to each and every one. We ask indeed that you would bless your servant. We pray indeed that you would hide him behind the cross. For Lord, our desire is that man would be hidden and that Christ would be glorified. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm one of those people who love old movies. I remember sitting in my living room one day and I was watching an old black and white movie. And my youngest son came in and he said to me, What are you watching? I said, This is one of the greatest movies that was ever made. And he said, What is it? I said, High Noon. High Noon. Gary Cooper. I says, You can't get a better movie. No, I'm not watching that, he said. And of course, I knew what was coming. I shouldn't have asked the question, but I couldn't help myself. And I said, Why not? He said, It's in black and white. It's not in color. But I love old movies. I love old John Wayne movies. One of the best ones he ever made was The Sands of Iwo Jima. And it's the only movie that John Wayne ever made that he was actually shot and killed in. All the rest of them where he died of natural causes. But this was one where he actually was shot and killed. But I also like modern movies. My all-time favorite is The Shawshank Redemption. But there's one more. A Few Good Men. It's a courtroom drama, a military courtroom drama, and I want you to take a look at this short video. Just watch it.
Colonel Jessup, did you order the code red?
You don't have to answer that question.
I'll answer the question. You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
I want the truth. I want the truth. And the response came back very loudly, as you can hear. You can't handle the truth. That's the same for most people in the world today. They can't handle the truth. We meet here on a Sunday. We preach from God's word. And we tell people that they need to be saved. We preach the truth. But for many people, they can't handle the truth. Or they don't want to know what the truth is. That portion of scripture that we have just read is the last personal, intimate conversation that the Lord Jesus Christ held with another human being before he went to Calvary. And he stands before Pilate. Pilate didn't want them. Pilate wanted nothing to do with them at all, because Pilate knew within his own heart that the man standing before him was an innocent man. Pilate was not happy, because as far as Pilate was concerned, this was an issue between the Jews. This had nothing to do with him. It was a religious dispute, because many of Jesus' followers called him master or teacher. The same way as many of the ordinary Jews would follow the chief priests and the high priests around. Teacher, tell us what the scriptures say. But yet with all, Jesus uses this conversation between himself and Pilate to reveal unto Pilate who he was. Are you the King of the Jews? And Jesus replies to him in verse 37. Thou sayest that I am king. To this end was I born. And then here comes the crux. Pilate says to him in verse 38, what is truth? What is truth? Pilate had no interest in knowing what the truth was. He didn't want to know the truth. As far as he was concerned, he was saying to this man, Jesus, look, what is truth for you is fine. But what is truth for you may not necessarily be truth for me. Times in the Bible, the word truth is mentioned. 22 times it's mentioned in the book of John. What is truth? I want to leave that question with you this evening. I want you to answer it for yourselves. Just exactly what truth is. One is to consider, firstly, the perception of truth. Pilate himself had no grasp of the truth. The people themselves believed that the truth was unobtainable, that it was impossible to know the truth. Pilate reasoned that there was no absolute truth. It's impossible to know the truth, because people's perception of the truth is entirely different. I'm standing up here and I'm roasting. For me, this is the truth. You could be sitting down there as cool as a cucumber, and for you, that's the truth. But trust me, where I am warm. So the truth is different for different folk. And we just have to accept that. A survey was conducted, and this is what it came up with. 67% of adults believe that there is no such a thing as absolute truth. 67%. Two-thirds of adults believe there is no absolute truth. 56% of born-again Christians, now listen, 56% of born-again Christians believe that truth is relative. I find that astounding. 56% of born-again Christians believe that truth is relative. In other words, what is true for you is not necessarily true for me. 75% of professing Christians cannot accept the idea of absolute truth. I sometimes wonder if that's the case, what sort of Bible are they reading? What sort of Bible are they reading? You see, when society has nothing to believe in, society then is free to go and do whatever pleases them. Because if you don't believe in truth, then you're free to do whatever takes your fancy. But that's not what this book tells me. This book tells me something entirely different. Believe what you will, the world says. But the Bible says that Jesus came to bear witness to the truth. John chapter 16 and verse 13, we read these words. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. That's why Jesus came into the world, dear friends, to tell us the truth, to remind us that he was indeed the Son of God, and there was only one way to get into the presence of God, and that was through him. In 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 14, this is the world's idea of a spirit. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. Why? For they are foolishness unto him, Neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. See, Christ came to give us the truth. So what is your perception this evening of the truth? It's also the power of the truth. Jesus told Pilate of this truth. He said unto him, "This truth that I say unto you has power." It has power. And each and every one of us that sit here tonight who know Jesus Christ as our Savior, know of that power. Know of the truth that that power has in changing lives. Because the person that we once were, we're not now. Why? Because the truth of Jesus Christ has entered into our lives and he has given his power to lead our lives in a different way. This power has power to liberate. John 8:32. "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free." I'm free today. I'm free from the power of sin. I'm free from the alcohol that once gripped my life. Person once asked me, he said, "I will believe all this hocus pocus about Jesus Christ and God if you show me a miracle." "Show me a miracle," he said, "and I'll believe." I stood in front of him and I just went, "I'm a miracle. I'm a miracle. Because the person that I once was, I'm not now, because God changed me." God put his truth within my life and changed me. You see, this power, this truth that comes from God, has the power to free men from the bondage of sin. It has the power to free the captive hearts and to open the blinded eyes. It has the power to fill men and women's hearts with the love of God. It also has the power to separate. John 17:17 says, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." To sanctify, to set apart, to be free from sin. An old brother once said to me many years ago, he said, "Son," he said, "sin will either keep you from this book, or this book will keep you from sin." He said, "What's it going to be?" Sin in your life will keep you from this book. But if you obey this book, then this book has the power to keep you from sin. That's true. You see, the truth of the gospel has the power to change us. It has the power to set us free. Has the power to invigorate. In John 4:24, we read these words. God is a spirit, then they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Are you worshiping God in spirit and in truth this evening? Those of you that are saved, do you worship God in spirit and in truth? Has there been a change in your life? The woman at the well had questions to ask Jesus. And Jesus was able to tell her everything that ever she had done. And her response was to go back to the village and say, "Come. Come see a man that has told me everything that I had done. Everything." You see, friends, when this truth is within us, it makes us want to worship God. Worship is not just singing hymns. Worship is much more than that. Worship is acknowledging that Jesus Christ is our everything. And worship comes from here, not here. True worship comes from the heart. But until we know the truth about Jesus Christ, we cannot truly worship him. See, only a true child of God can truly worship God. Only someone whose life has been changed by the truth of God is able to understand what God is saying to them. The personality of the truth. The Bible says that Scripture is truth. Thy word is truth. If the Bible is indeed the inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God as it claims to be, then we have no worries. Second Timothy 3:16 says, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness." You can't handle the truth. Can you? Can you handle the truth? The truth is this, that every person that is born into the world is born into the world a sinner. And every person that dies in the world in their sins without Jesus Christ as their Savior, the Bible says is going to hell. See, what is truth? Sometimes people don't want to know the truth, they're just happy hearing the lie. They're happy to believe in the lie. The truth is this, that God said and Christ said there is one way and one way only to get to heaven, and that is through Jesus Christ and the cross of Calvary. If the Bible is true, if what is written in the pages of this book is truth, then it's the absolute truth. If God didn't make man in his own image, then man is free to do as he pleases. And if man is free to do as he pleases, then he believes within his own heart and his own mind that there is no heaven or no hell. And do you know what that makes God? That makes God a liar. That makes God a liar. Because God has told us that there is a heaven and a hell. A hell to be shunned and a heaven to be accepted. See, if I can't trust God in Genesis 1 and 1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. If I can't believe God in Genesis 1, how can I put my trust and faith in him in John 3 and 16? If you can't believe the first verse in the Bible, then don't come and tell me that you believe every other verse. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him, not me, not Peter or Paul or any other minister, not even the Baptist Church or the Presbyterian Church or the Methodist Church, but that whosoever believeth in me shall not perish, but shall have everlasting life. There is one way to God, and one way only. No other way, no other way, no other way to go. Calvary is the only way, dear friends. Calvary's the only way to find the truth. The world doesn't like it. But it doesn't matter what the world thinks, because it's still true. What is truth? It's a difference between being saved and being lost. It's a difference between being a Christian and having your sins forgiven, and being a sinner and going to a lost eternity. For those of us that are saved, we have the truth. The truth is within us. You see, Tom Cruise in that clip, pardon me, Tom Cruise in that clip can say whatever he wants. I want the truth. And Jack Nicholson's response was, you can't handle the truth. There are thousands of people outside these four walls tonight can't handle the truth. Because by believing in the truth, it will take them down a path that they don't want to go. But that path is not necessarily the wrong path. It may be in their eyes. But Jesus said, broad is the way, and many there be that travel it, but narrow is the road, and few that find it. Few that find it. people seem to think that hell is full of bad people. I asked a young friend of mine a number of years ago, I says, who do you think is going to hell? Oh, he said, that's easy. And he rhymed off a list of dictators. Hitler, Mussolini. No, the list went on and on and on. And I said, what about you? He says, no, I'm all right. He said, I go to church. I'm all right. I said, can I tell you something? I said, hell is not full of bad people. Hell's full of good people. Good people who couldn't accept Jesus Christ as their Savior. Good people who couldn't accept the truth of God's word. So I say to you, as Pilate said unto Jesus, what is truth? Truth is acknowledging Jesus Christ as your Savior and putting your trust in him.